So Christian assumptions about heaven and hell, I mean, if I can just put it candidly, they just don't make a lot of sense to me. And in April of this last spring, Time Magazine, I don't know if you saw this, did a cover story on Rob Bell. Did you see that? That's pretty phenomenal. Because he came out with this controversial book, What If Hell Doesn't Exist? That's is what Time Magazine said. What if it's like John Lennon? Imagine there's no hell. It was based on Rob Bell's controversial book, Love Wins. Now, I have had the advantage of not having read Rob Bell's controversial book, so I can't give you any of my opinions on it because I don't really know what he says, but I can tell you the premise. Bell is a thinker, and he tries to stay culturally relevant. So he's thinking about the cultural relevance of medieval notions, Catholic notions of eternal torment, and he knows that modern culture is going to have a little bit of trouble accepting an all-good and benevolent, powerful deity who creates a species of beings which he by default sends to an eternity of torment to pay for sins committed within 70 years of life or so, which just seems a little out of balance, especially if you're saying that everything's measure for measure, you know? Seems like, I mean, what can a human being do in 70 years to merit eternal torment? Do you know how long eternal is? Ouch, right? But the truth is that Christianity as a religion is primarily about final destinies, about getting out of hell and going to heaven. And the main thrust of the Christian faith is about heaven and hell, avoiding one, attaining the other, and saving the lost who are heading to hell. Yet, ironically, we seem to be the most jacked up about this and know nothing about heaven or hell, and what we do seem to know is often contradictory and ill-informed. So this is a problem, and it's not surprising. There are lots of things we believe that we don't know about, such as the existence of the soul, right? Show me your soul. Where do you keep it? Angels, where? Show me one. Demons, show me. God, where are you, Hashem? Show me God. Where is he? Can you point to him? And as the apostles tell us, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And heaven qualifies as both hoped for and not seen. So it's not surprising that we are, we're grasping here as we're trying to figure out what to say and what to know about something unseen and only hoped for. And part of the problem is simply that both heaven and hell, the place of reward and punishment, are intangible then. You know, they're invisible. They are abodes of intangible, invisible, incorporeal, soulish entities. So it's really not possible to speak of either one of them in terms of physical reality, of matter, of energy, three dimensions, linear time, where we spend our lives in this world. If heaven and hell exist, they are beyond our capacity to experience within the constraints of this lifetime. And if we do experience them, like the Apostle Paul, who ascended to the third heaven, says he did, or he knew a man who did, they are beyond our capacity then to communicate, as Paul said, where things were revealed to him, which it's impossible or forbidden to relate. Another part of the problem is that Christian notions of the afterlife theology are largely inherited from Judaism. However, Christian theology, at a very early time in its development, let go of belief in a messianic era on earth. So Christians tend to apply, maybe you're thinking, wait a second, that's not true. No, it's true. If you grew up in your church believing in a literal messianic era, that's only as a result of the influence of dispensationalism. For most of 2,000 years, and dispensationalism is only a couple centuries, for most of 2,000 years, Christianity has not believed in a literal reign of Messiah on earth called the Messianic era. And so without that, without the Messianic era, in the theological equation of our eschatology, Christians have tended to apply prophecies and predictions about the Messianic era and the subsequent world to come to descriptions of heaven. You see, some of this gets quite confusing. We confuse the Messianic age, the world to come, and the interim pre-resurrection state of the dead with the post-resurrection state of the dead. And we just kind of mash it all up together. And to add confusion, we import a little Greco-Roman ideas about the afterlife as seasoning. And altogether, this creates a very confusing picture, a poor foundation to build a religion on. So the goal of my four lectures today is to sort through some of this mess from a Messianic Jewish perspective. And here's what I mean by a Messianic Jewish perspective. We want to try to figure out what Judaism, in the days of the apostles, believed about the afterlife, and then see if we can use those assumptions to fill in what Yeshua and the apostles taught about the afterlife. Because, as you know, our master, Yeshua, and his first followers were all observant Jews, living and practicing first century Judaism, that should go without saying. And it stands to reason that if we want to understand something about what they believed or what they taught, we should consider what Judaism believed and taught on the same subject. That's a reasonable course of action. So that's the goal. And I hope that we can at least come to some better clarity then about this great hope, the hope of eternal life, of which our master spoke so often, which truly is at the center of the gospel and is the point of the resurrection of Yeshua. But before we do this now, let's lay down some ground rules, okay? For our part, I'm only trying to figure out what heaven and hell meant to the apostolic era writers. You may or may not agree with these conclusions, and I, for my part, may or may not be right, okay? My conclusions will be based on a messianic perspective, but that does not imply that everyone who identifies himself as messianic will come to the same conclusions. So ground rule number one, hold these teachings loosely. And don't get all worked up. In addition, I am not going to be teaching you what liberal forms of Judaism today say on the subject of heaven and hell. It has happened to me more than once that I have offended Jewish people, made some Jewish people very angry by teaching about heaven and hell. It's happened more than once that I've had Jewish people come to me and say, "You're lying. You, sir, are a liar. There is no hell in Judaism. My rabbi told me so." Or something like this. I am not lying. I am teaching what Jewish people in the days of the apostles and in the later Mishnaic and Talmudic era believed on the subject of the afterlife. So that's ground rule number two. Not what Judaism says today, particularly what Reform or Conservative Judaism says today, but what Judaism said in the apostolic era. And finally, last ground rule, please keep in mind that I don't know any of this, of what I'm talking about. I have not been to heaven or hell. I'm only going to try to communicate what I can derive from the scriptures and from Jewish sources, but yeah, in fact, I have not been to heaven or hell yet. The Talmud says this on the subject. It says, "Seek not things that are too hard for you, and search not things that are hidden from you. Meditate on the things that have been permitted to you. You have no business with the things that are secret." This is one of the secret things, and it's a fair warning. These are secret things. We might be able to discern the broad outlines and catch a glimpse in the distance, but we certainly cannot see the details.